You are about to hear a tremendous interview with Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. But first, this segment is sponsored by Continental Gold, which has one of the highest grade gold deposits in the entire world. The company's flagship high-grade gold and silver project, Buriticá, has extremely high 97 and 95% recovery rates for gold and silver. Buriticá's gold resources of 2.97 million ounces measured and indicated and 4.4 million ounces inferred, with grades averaging nearly 10 grams per ton of gold equivalent, which includes high-grade silver resources. The company has high priority targets to be drilled at Buriticá and a portfolio of other potential high-grade exploration projects, and all projects are 100% owned. Continental Gold is roughly $100 million of cash in the bank, and management also owns roughly 16% of the company. Continental Gold, symbol CNL in Canada and CGOOF in the U.S. This is King World News. I'm Eric King. Remember to go to our homepage where we've already had Ben Davies, Gerald Celente, and David Stockman. Without any further delay, here is Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. Joining us now is Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. He is the former Assistant Secretary of the U.S. Treasury and is also the former Associate Editor and Columnist with the Wall Street Journal. Dr. Roberts, I wanted to ask you about comments made yesterday by one of the greats in the business, Mark Mobius. It was very fascinating because Bloomberg wanted to talk to him about who impressed him most last year. And what was fascinating was his response. And I'll just read to you what he had to say here. Mobius responded, "I don't know whether I should say this, but maybe Mr. Putin." And it was fascinating because he said it very sheepishly, that response. He was sort of concerned as he said it. And the interviewer said, "Why is that?" And he responded, "Because he has shown a great deal of control and restraint by being very logical in his decisions," end quote. Your thoughts on Mark Mobius shocking Bloomberg in that interview by choosing Putin as sort of the man that impressed him most last year?
Yes, well, he impresses me most, too. I don't think there's any competition for Putin. He's undoubtedly the most accomplished and respected world leader at the present time. The Chinese are also good. There are a couple of reforming presidents in South America, but most of the rest of the world you can just flush. They're useless. I mean, there aren't any leaders outside of Putin, the Chinese, and the two reforming presidents in South America.
It was very interesting because Victor Sprandio was also chatting about this and brought up the fact that when you're at the KGB, and he was head of it for 16 years, but you're taught by these grand chess masters, and you've sort of innuendoed this before, but it helps a great deal with their strategy as they get into situations like Ukraine, doesn't it, Dr. Roberts?
Of course it does. But I think what is being referred to here is that Putin relies on diplomacy, not coercion. He's not threatening people. He's not issuing ultimatums. He's simply telling everybody, "We're here for you. We can work this out." And Obama is, or not just Obama, but the Washington regime, it tells people, "Do exactly as what we say or we'll bomb you into the Stone Age." That's the way the State Department talks to countries. So you can imagine who's the most effective. It's Putin. And that's the strategy we see him playing now. Washington is threatening everybody, in Europe, the Germans, the French. You put these sanctions on right now, do as we say. We don't care how much damage it does to your economy. You have to do what we say. And Putin is saying, "We'll work everything out with you. Let's just talk. Let's see what needs to be done." So a person that behaves that way has far more credibility. The trouble with Washington is they've gotten used to being a bully and to relying on force and threats. And the world's getting tired of that. So Putin, looking at his opposition, can see that these people aren't really even in the diplomatic game. Chess, they couldn't play chess if they had to. They couldn't even play marbles, you know. So I think that's the big difference. And we are seeing somebody who's trying to avoid conflict and try to give everybody a stake in the outcome. And the fact that he's not threatening and is not relying on force and coercion is the reason that he's winning.
Sprandio also brought up the fact, and you've alluded to this before, that Russia's military is heavily nuclear-tipped, but they have more warheads than almost the entire world combined at 8,500 nuclear warheads. I was a bit shocked when I looked that up.
Well, of course, they've been very heavily armed. That was the mutually assured destruction. They did it to prevent any American attack. And unfortunately, there are people in Washington who are so absurd that they are writing articles and spreading the line that the United States has such an enormous superiority over the Russians in nuclear weapons that we can win a nuclear war. If we would just go ahead and have a first strike on Russia, that they wouldn't have any ability to retaliate or not enough to matter, and so they wouldn't dare risk a second American strike. And so the whole argument that's being given to Obama and to the government in Washington is that Washington can win nuclear war. And as an article that I published recently on my site pointed out, if even 1% of the arsenals of the United States and Russia were used, the death toll all over the world would be at least 2 billion people. And if half of the nuclear arsenal of either country was used, it would be the end of life on Earth, period. So these weapons are not usable. And their function was to prevent their use by the other. And this was the basis for American strategic doctrine that there would be no first strike. They were retaliatory. And it was the doctrine of mutual assured destruction known as MAD, M-A-D. And so the Russians and the Americans were both committed to use the nuclear weapons only in retaliation to a nuclear attack. Now, that's where things stood until I think it was 2010 when American nuclear doctrine was changed to establish first nuclear strike. So the basis for American doctrine now is it can be used in a preemptive nuclear strike. Now, of course, this has worried the Russians, because why would you change a doctrine? It's quite clear the Russians is aimed at them. Washington claimed it's aimed at terrorists, but how do you strike terrorists with nuclear weapons? You know, yeah, you don't. So, and then Washington putting these anti-ballistic missile bases on Russia's border, and they claim this is against Iranian ICBMs. But of course, Iran doesn't have any ICBMs. So the Russians know that the Americans are planning a nuclear first strike and are putting anti-ballistic missile systems in place to shoot down any retaliatory Russian missiles. So the Russians are watching this act of madness on the part of the United States government, and the Chinese are also watching it. In fact, the Chinese have been so worried by the American war plans against China that they released, it was 2 or 3 months ago, what they said was a demonstration of how the Chinese nuclear retaliatory force would wipe out the United States. They gave details. The submarines off the California coast would wipe everything from the Pacific to the Rockies, and the Chinese ICBMs going over the North Pole would take out everything from the Rockies to the East Coast. Now, why would China do that? It's not in their practice to be threatening. They avoid that like the Russians do. They don't threaten people with military attack.
Well, what did you make of that when you heard that? It was a bit shocking, the language that was used there. What did you make of that?
Well, they're trying to make the American people aware that the American government has plans for attacking China and that there will be a cost if that happens. I mean, China doesn't want war any more than Russia does. And so they released this hoping it would cause some attention, and people would say, why is China doing this? And then somebody would say, well, the Americans have drawn up war plans. And lo and behold, somebody did do that, a scholar in Washington. He wrote an article and said, who gave Washington permission to draw up war plans against China? And so it's a way of trying to make other people aware, other influential people, that Washington has got all of these nuclear first strike plans against Russia and China. Because when you do that and you make it known, you raise the specter of these two countries deciding, well, my word, if they're going to attack us, maybe we should just go ahead and attack them. So the irresponsibility of Washington is unprecedented in world history. This is one of the most grave strategic errors that ever been made in history, which is to signal to two nuclear-armed countries that you've drawn up nuclear plans for attacking them. I mean, this is madness. This is the kind of idiocy, the kind of arrogance, the hubris that defines the United States government. It's the greatest collection of dangerous fools on the face of the earth.
Let me ask you this in closing, Dr. Roberts. We're going to move away from the situation with the Russians, Chinese, and the United States on the war front there and move it to the economic front. We're also bullying, you know, Russia with economic sanctions and trying to push the Chinese around as well. But it doesn't seem like we're economically in a position to do that. How is this going to unfold? What's going to happen? Because we're the weaker player trying to push these guys around that are the rising nations. And, you know, how will this end?
Well, what we've done, again, by this demonstration of arrogance and hubris, is we forced a strategic alliance between Russia and China. So again, we've cut our own throat. And part of the strategic alliance is military. So just imagine the United States fighting these two countries simultaneously. But it's also economic, because they've made this agreement to move outside the dollar payment system. And the first big move on that part is the Chinese-Russian energy deal. It's a 30-year deal. And it also, of course, solves a lot of China's energy problems. So it makes it harder for the United States to cut China off from energy like they did Japan. And so you've got then the strategic military and economic alliance between Russia and China, and also the decision to simply leave the dollar payment system because they're tired of these threats about sanctions. And the only way you can be sanctioned is if you're in the American payment system. So they're leaving it. So it simply diminishes the power of Washington, and it diminishes the financial hegemony that the big banks and Wall Street have over the rest of the world. So again, you see a thoughtless decision of a government, United States government, that's used to relying on intimidation and threats. And they forgot that Russia and China are not Syria and Libya. And so they've issued threats, and the other countries have said, well, we don't need to put up with this. We're simply departing your system. It's going to be a different system. It's going to be our system. So, again, it's just evidence that Washington can't think, play chess. Like I said, they can't play checkers. They can't play marbles. They rely on threats, intimidation. Do as we say, or we'll bomb you into the Stone Age. That's the favorite refrain that Washington gives other countries.
Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, former Assistant Secretary of the U.S. Treasury, former Associate Editor and columnist with The Wall Street Journal. Thank you for joining us on King World News.
Pleasure to speak with you, Eric.
Be sure to tune in as we will continue to release interviews with the top people in the world throughout the week. Also, make sure to check out the King World News blog.